It's everyone's favorite tournament of the year. The golfers are in Augusta, Georgia to compete for the coveted jacket. And DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports, is putting you in the center of the action by giving you a shot to land on the green. This week, DraftKings is giving you a free shot at the $1 million top prize when you download and sign up using promo code THPN. If you haven't tried DraftKings, this is the time. It's easy to play. Pick six golfers, stay under the salary cap, and submit your lineup before the tournament tees off early Thursday morning. Then sit back and follow the action. The more red numbers they have on the leaderboard, the closer you'll be to winning some green. Rack up points for pars, birdies, finishing position, and more. Even though you may not be able to hit the course with the pros, DraftKings is giving you the chance to scratch your competitive itch and reign supreme. Download the DraftKings app now and use code THPN during signup. This week, DraftKings is putting you in the action with a free shot at the $1 million top prize. That's code THPN, and you can get a free shot at the $1 million top prize only at DraftKings.
This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Bolts broadcast. My name is Mike Mitchelson, Chase Groshel with me today. Chase, how you feeling? It's a Saturday, it is April finally, and Easter is tomorrow. So give me your overall feelings on how... Oh, and I'm coming over tonight, which I'm pretty sure you're super excited about that. So how you feeling on this Saturday?
Well, I'm feeling good at the moment because we're coming off of a win against the Detroit Red Wings, so can't, you know, feel bad after a win. But, you know, I'm going to feel kind of lackluster in, I don't know, 3 hours, two hours, whenever
when
the hell
Johnny
is.
Gets there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Whenever Johnny and Graham get here. I'm doing good overall. Looking forward to Easter. We do this breakfast bake thing every pretty much holiday breakfast that we do, which is only Easter and Christmas. And it, I don't know like exactly how to explain it, but it's just like this big just. It's full. It's like a crescent roll, top and bottom, full of sausage, egg, and cheese. It's super good. So we're doing that tomorrow. Super excited. Cannot wait to eat it.
Very nice. I'm having roast. So, yeah, not as excited as you are for your food. But, hey, nonetheless, going to be with family. So very excited about that. Chase, tonight... we are going to be getting together, playing a little euchre. If you don't know what euchre is, I feel bad for you. It is a very Midwestern card game, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, big time.
But it's a great game. We're going to be talking some sports, and we've already started talking sports with Chris, who is going to be making an appearance on the WNP podcast, our football show, in a couple weeks. And I love talking about sports. Like... especially debating sports. Like right now we're talking about Travis Etienne. If anyone is aware of the upcoming NFL draft class, he's one of the top running backs, and me and our buddy Chris, we're just debating back and forth on, you know, where Etienne should be ranked. What are some of his positives? What are some of his negatives? And just, it's so much fun to just sit down and do research, and even more fun when that research is already done. Just to sit down and know that you're confident in what you feel about the guy and being able to discuss that with other people who maybe haven't seen the same exact things. Like, I've always loved debating, and politics is intriguing because of the debate faction, but politics is so disgusting nowadays that I just don't even like paying attention to it. So, sports, I get that debate, and I also get to talk about something that I absolutely love.
Yeah, this might be hard for the fans to believe, but the two guys that are hosting this podcast like talking about sports. Isn't that crazy?
Chase, you don't like talking about sports. You like getting schooled about
sports. Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah, you're I forgot. You're so high and mighty, so smart, just the greatest person to ever bless this planet.
You're damn right. Chase, we've got some good stuff to talk about. Unfortunately, we missed a lot of NCAA signings.
Oh, my God.
Obviously, that's due to you and your lack of knowledge there. But
you want to finish the show by yourself. I'll go.
How many times does this happen? I mean, I feel like we always talk about it. You know, we talk about something on the show and then literally 2 hours later, literally as we stopped recording Thursday's episode, I'm like, hey, Chase, we forgot Yan Kuznetsov. He goes, no, he didn't. I'm like, no, he actually just signed like 30 seconds ago. And then sure enough, so many players get signed. We'll talk about that a little bit later on in the show. Before we hop into that, we're going to be talking about Fox Sports. Also going to be looking at our past three games and then going to be looking at our next couple of games. It's going to be exciting. And then we're going to finish it off with a little talk about waivers and why we see good players on waivers go unclaimed, kind of baffling, but we'll hop into that a little bit later on. Chase, we'll talk about Fox Sports first. I've known about this for a little bit because of my sports management class, but Fox Sports no longer going to be named Fox Sports coming up very soon here.
Yeah, well, it actually just officially took place a day or two ago. So like I think, okay, if I'm not mistaken, I think this was the first, today's game was the first game broadcasted on the new, I think it's pronounced Bally Sports Network, Bally, whatever the hell it is, or, you know, Bally Sports Sun. If I'm not mistaken, today was the first game, maybe Thursday's game was, I really don't remember, but regardless, it's taken over now. I don't really know the exact reasoning behind this. I just knew the change was coming and I kind of came out of nowhere. I remember seeing it for the first time like a week ago. I'm like, oh, okay, that's random, but all right.
Yeah, I think it was some type of sale up top. I mean, everything comes down to buying and selling, right?
Yeah.
It's always a marketplace out there. And so this happens, and I'm not really sure how I feel about it, because obviously growing up, Fox Sports, Bally Sports, that sounds obviously different because we haven't heard it before. But going to be something I'm definitely going to have to get used to, especially because here in Detroit, it's FS1. So now is it going to be BS1? Like bullshit one, or like what's happening there, you know?
Yeah. I don't know about that one.
So, well, we'll have to see how everything works. I wonder if, you know, production is going to be having a big increase on Bally Sports, and, you know, interested to see what happens with this new branding, but we'll just have to wait to see what happens with all that. Chase, we'll hop into game reviews now. The first game to talk about, the first game against the Columbus Blue Jackets in our two-game series, because we did record on Tuesday before this game was actually played. Well, this one resulted in a defeat, and I don't know about you, but this was our third straight loss. It felt like it was a lot more than three losses, even though it wasn't. I think it's just, you know, timing, watching the games, you're like, gosh, it's another loss. It feels like it mounted up to more than three losses, but luckily that's all it was.
Yeah, I mean, it just feels like more because we're so used to watching this team win. So when you're winning nonstop and you drop a couple in a row, you kind of, you know, raise some flags. So, oh, okay, this is an issue. But really, at the end of the day, it's not an issue. This happens. It's no team can be just dominant every night and night out. They're going to have lapses and they're going to go on kind of cold stretches. And that's kind of what happened. I mean, really, it was a game that, like, Tampa, they kind of controlled. It just was a matter of Columbus being able to squeak them in when they needed to, really. You can tell by all the underlying numbers that it was Tampa's game. McElhinney, he played all right, could have played a little better, didn't face too much action, but regardless, still only letting in two goals, that's still not bad. You expect a team like Tampa to be able to supply more offense, but I mean, like, Merzlikin, you just shut the net, really. You couldn't get the puck behind him at all.
Yeah, and that's one thing we talked about when previewing this series. We were talking about Korpisalo and Merzlikins and how they were very good last year. However, this year they started off a little slow. Merzlikins, he's gotten less games, but he seemed to do better than Korpisalo. They bring him in against us in our first game in our two-game series, and he shut the door completely, like you mentioned. A 9.74 save percentage, only letting in one goal on 38 shots. Absolutely phenomenal play by him. And like Jay said, it was a controlling game for us. It's just the goaltending is what stood our two teams apart. You know, McElhinney was letting up a couple, whereas Merzlikins, he shut the door completely. But the game afterwards, the game on Thursday, a different case, as our Tampa Bay Lightning actually took the win 3-2.
Definitely a better effort this game around. It was a closer game. Like Columbus was in it a bit more, but we were able to find the back of the net and, you know, kind of get that lead. It was another game where you got more star production. Like the only goal scorer in the previous game was Matthew Joseph, who has been playing well this year. You know, that was his 10th goal of the season, but you know, now Braden Point, he was able to put two in. Ross Colton got his third of the year. It was a nice game. It was a game that you'd expect, or like it was what you would want to expect, I should say, from our star players, where Point played well, Vasilevskiy played well. And you know, that's kind of what this team needs to just get going on the stretch. Make sure your top guys, they're staying on, and then the depth is supplying the help when needed.
So Chase, let me ask you a question, because I think we've seen this quite often this year. Why is it that our Tampa Bay Lightning play better in front of McElhinney? Like when you watch the games and when you look at time of possession and shots on goal, when McElhinney's in net, the team is much more dominant, whereas when Vasilevsky's in net, it's usually a little bit of a closer game, but Vasilevsky's the one that's, you know, shutting the door. He's being the best goalie in the world. So why is it that the Lightning are doing this? I feel like that's just a recipe for disaster once you hit playoffs.
So this is a very real thing that all hockey teams at all levels do. When you have two goalies and there's a clear talent disparity, you play a lot looser in front of the one that's got more talent. Vasilevsky's going to be able to bail you out every single night. It's just the truth. He's going to make the big saves when needed. If you slip up defensively, he's going to be there to correct what he's got to do. So you can, you know, play a little looser defensively. You don't have to necessarily be balls to the wall every shift offensively, you know, driving in the corners, getting every puck on net. Whereas McElhinney, he's a guy, he's going to let in a couple goals. It's going to be rare that he's going to, you know, stop every puck coming at him. So he's bound to let in a couple goals. So you got to make sure you're outscoring the opposition. Whereas, you know, as I just mentioned with Vasilevsky, when he shuts the door, all he needs is one goal and you're good. So it's really just like about having that kind of comfortability and relaxedness, if that's not really a word, but that's, I guess, the word I'm going to use anyway, playing in front of the better goalie.
Gotcha. And we'll see if that continues to be the case, as I assume McElhinney will play the game on Sunday, as it is a back-to-back. We'll look at the Red Wings game now, Chase. This game happened just earlier today. We were able to take it in a 2-1 fashion. Team looked pretty good overall. I was worried, and I talked about it on Thursday's episode. I was worried that the team might come out a little slow because it is a afternoon game. It's not a night game. So whoever's up early, whoever's getting their stretches in first, that's probably the team that is going to come out more energetic and just be the better team. It wasn't the case this time, as our Tampa Bay Lightning were in fact able to beat the Red Wings.
Yeah, Ross Colton, Braden Point, you know, the two goal scorers from the previous game. Yet again, the goal scorers from this game. It was a nice effort. Vasilevskiy played really well. You know, I still felt like that our team still could have played a bit better. 29 shots on net is, you know, great and all. But Detroit with Thomas Greiss in that is not a very good hockey team. Greiss is truly been horrible this year, and he's a goalie that you got to, you know, try to exploit and take advantage of. Hopefully, you know, that's the case tomorrow. I don't think Bernier will be back yet. But like, yeah, with how bad Greiss has been, you kind of expect a few more goals.
Yeah, and the one thing that the Red Wings do have going for them is their faceoff percentage. And I just wanted to bring this up because Luke Glendening, he's been phenomenal on the faceoffs, and you're thinking that he could get a lot of interest going into the trade deadline because of how good he's been in the circle.
Oh, 100%, dude. And it's not even just like just the faceoffs. He's a good defensive guy too. He is okay enough offensively where you don't feel horrible about throwing him on the ice, and he's good defensively, and he wins faceoffs, he blocks shots, he kills penalties. He does what you need out of that bottom six role guy, and he's cheap. So he's going to command a lot at the trade deadline. If the Red Wings choose to trade him, you know, we're only a couple days away from, or not a couple days, but like just about a week and a half away from it now as of us recording. So we'll see kind of more, you know, as it gets closer, but I really would be shocked if he's not traded. And, you know, his play isn't going unnoticed. I think it was Eddie Olczyk on Chicago, like NBC Sports Chicago. He released his U.S. Olympic team for the upcoming Olympics and what he would do. And when Denning was on that team, first of all, that's asinine. That's not happening. That just would not happen. But regardless, it's showing, you know, that he's been a good defensive player, and he's that face-off guy, and he's just someone who makes a little difference in the game and kind of helps like with puck control, really.
Absolutely. So another game against Detroit on Sunday. You guys already saw that. Hopefully it was a good game that left a happy feeling for your Easter. But our next two games against Columbus get again. This time they are in Columbus. Chase, what do you expect? Is there any differences in this series compared to the last series? Obviously, we just played them recently. Do you think we see Korpisalo at all this series? As last series, we played Merzlikins twice. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I feel like we're going to see 1-1. I don't know what Columbus' schedule is this weekend, but I don't know. I just got a feeling that it's going to be 1-1 just from guys getting tired and worn down. So hopefully we can take advantage of both goalies while they're in the net, and I think it shouldn't be an issue. We obviously thought they were going to take that series 2-0 last time, but I really think that they're going to take it 2-0 this time. You know, they're coming off a Detroit win and then the Columbus win prior to as well, and they're playing one more Detroit game, which we're going to assume that they win. It'd be kind of shocking if they didn't. So with that momentum going, they should be able to get things going again.
Yeah, absolutely. And Cap Friendly, one of their affiliate Twitter accounts, they posted something today that I wanted to kind of read off and get your thoughts about. So since that big trade, since the big blockbuster with Dubois, Laine, Roslovic, Roslovic has played in 31 games for the Blue Jackets and has 22 points. Laine has played in 28 with 14 points. Dubois, 23 games with 14 points. However, Roslovic, a healthy scratch in tonight's game. What's that all about?
Yeah, I don't really know what goes on in Columbus. Like, I got to look into that more because I really have no idea. It's funky town over there. I like Tortorella, but I've been questioning a lot of the shit that he's been pulling this year. Trying to make Laine into a player that he's not. No, just use him for what he is. And calling out like veteran players, making veteran players retire like Mikko Koivu or scratching someone like Jack Roslovic. Like, there's just no need. Like, these are key players to your team. You need them in the lineup every night. You need them playing big minutes. If a guy like Laine isn't playing big minutes, if he's not getting in his flow, he's not going to provide offensively. So if you just play him 14 minutes a night, yeah, he's going to get a point every other game. But if you play him more, he could be a borderline point per game guy and a perennial goal scorer in this league, dude.
Absolutely. And if Roslovic and Laine, if perhaps they do the wrong thing on a certain day, maybe they're not going to be facing us when we have our two games against the Columbus Blue Jackets. Maybe Tortorella just doesn't have the trust and is going to healthy scratch them as well. So we'll see what the case is as we head on into the games, but something to definitely look out for because you never really know who's going to be scratched with Tortorella as the head coach. But Chase, we're going to go to a quick commercial break. After the commercial break, we're going to be talking about some of those NCAA signings that we missed. And there's some big ones, that's for sure. And then we also got to talk about the whole waiver debacle that we're seeing right after this.
HF Boards is the internet's largest and longest running community for discussion surrounding ice hockey, including coverage of the NHL, college teams, and anywhere else the sport is played globally. Join in nearly 500,000 active conversations happening now on HF Boards.
All right, and we are back from the commercial break, Chase. A lot of names that we missed, that's for sure. And some very big names as well. One of the headliners, a guy that you and I have a lot of faith in, Spencer Knight, who signed with the Florida Panthers. That's going to be a player we dive a little bit deeper into coming up. But Chase, why don't you run through the names really quickly, and then we'll talk about some of these guys specifically.
Alrighty, so I'll start with the name of the player and the team they signed with, and I'm just going to roll through because there's quite a bit of names worth mentioning. So we'll start with Yan Kuznetsov, signed with the Calgary Flames. Then next, we move on to Leighton Ahat. I still don't know how to say this guy's name. I need to learn how to. Regardless, he's a third-round pick of the Vegas Golden Knights out of Ohio State, signed there. Then we got Matthew Boldy from Boston College, signed with Minnesota. Of course, Spencer Knight, of course, Boston College, signed with Florida. Jordan Kawaguchi, University of North Dakota, probably the most coveted college free agent this season, signed with the Dallas Stars. Alex Newhook from Boston College, signed with the Colorado Avalanche. Cam York, University of Michigan, signs Philadelphia Flyers. Jacob Bernard-Docker from University of North Dakota, signs with the Senators. Matt Kierstead from North Dakota as well, signs with the Panthers. Shane Pinto from North Dakota as well, signs with the Senators. And then our final North Dakota signing, Adam Scheel, signs the Dallas Stars. And then Scott Reedy from the University of Minnesota, signs with the San Jose Sharks. And to top it all off, Odin Tufto from Quinnipiac University, signs with the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah, Jason, let's start with Tufto, obviously being a Lightning prospect. Not the biggest name, but nonetheless, a name we should talk about as he's coming over to Tampa. What are we going to see from him? I would assume that he's going to be a Syracuse player, but how far out until we might be able to see this guy up in the big leagues?
Yeah, this is a nice signing. He's a dude that I was really monitoring this college hockey season, trying to figure out where he's going to sign, hoping that, you know, Tampa maybe get in on that action. He's older. He's 24. So that's some people say that might be a little bit wary, but he's just been a solid producer his whole college career. I mean, he's been a point per game every single season. He was a Hobie Baker finalist in the top 10, not in the final three. But regardless, he had a hell of a season, scoring 47 points with 8 goals, 39 assists through 29 games. Smaller dude at 5'7", 174. He's going to start in Syracuse. His contract doesn't even kick in until next season, if I'm not mistaken, actually, his entry level. So they won't even really have a chance to see him in Tampa this year. But he's going to probably play in Syracuse this year, maybe fight for a roster spot next year. But with Tampa's roster the way it is, it's got some depth. He'll probably end up in Syracuse again and then try to look for a call-up next year.
All right, sounds good. Well, Chase, let's move to some of the bigger names. We started the segment off talking Spencer Knight. Got to talk about him as he was, a 13th overall pick? Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And it was to little brother, the Florida Panthers, one of the most talented prospects in the goalie position that we've seen in quite some time, really since Carey Price. So what should we expect from him with Bobrovsky continuing to play poorly? Is there a chance we're going to be able to see this guy?
I'd be shocked if we don't see him at some point in the season. Maybe a game or two. I can't imagine much more, though. He's practicing with the team, or as soon as he can, he's practicing with the team. He's on the taxi squad right now. So we should see him, you know, maybe getting some action. If not next year, there's no reason he shouldn't be a full-time player. He probably is honestly the best goalie in that room right now. I would say he's worthy of being their starting goaltender. You know, Chris Drager and then Sergei Bobrovsky are obviously the two guys right now. Bob is struggling, where Chris, you know, he's playing pretty well. I can't imagine that they end up re-signing him, so they'll just leave Spencer Knight, Sergei Bobrovsky. Maybe they try to figure out a way to get a team to take Bobrovsky off their hands. Maybe they say, hey, Seattle, you take Bobrovsky from us, we'll give you a draft pick too, just to get this cap off our books, because they need it badly. And I mean, honestly, Seattle could use a decent name like that, because I still think Bob has some ability in him, but you got Spencer Knight. You don't need Sergei Bobrovsky to that contract. It made no sense when they signed into that contract in the first place.
Yeah, absolutely. And Chase, I think we have to talk about it, because we've seen rookie goaltenders come into the league and make very big impacts, not only for their team in the regular season, but also in the playoffs. Think of Cam Ward, think of Matt Murray, Andre Vasilevsky. He had a lot of success with the Tampa Bay Lightning, but the two prior names I mentioned, winning Stanley Cups. Would Spencer Knight be able to come in and help this Florida Panther team in a similar fashion to the names I just mentioned?
Maybe. I mean, because when he gets hot, like, he can be pretty much unbeatable. And even when he's not hot and he's average, it's like, not average, but average for him. It's kind of like Vasilevsky, where he's still going to be a top-end goalie and you're still going to have a hard time beating him. But if he gets hot, he is unbeatable. So if he finds that groove and he gets that opportunity, he really could easily take the starting job and then ride Florida into the playoffs. I can't imagine this roster being ready to win a Stanley Cup, though, even with Knight like backstopping them. Unless he has a J.S. Jaguar kind of level performance, I don't know if that's quite going to happen.
Definitely a name to keep an eye on. Well, Chase, I want to talk about Matt Boldy next. This is a guy that was tremendous in World Juniors. He was a kid that missed World Juniors the year prior. However, this year, he did make World Juniors and was phenomenal. A player that I constantly noticed while he was out there on the ice. I even tweeted that out from my personal account, and Matthew Boldy's mom was a very lovely lady and decided to give it a like on Twitter. So very appreciative for that. But yeah, this is a kid that's going to be coming into Minnesota, and a kid that hopefully we're going to be able to see very soon here and see what he can bring to this team. Minnesota, a team that a couple years back, I would rather watch paint dry than them, where now they bring in Kirill Kaprizov, they brought in Kevin Fiala, what was it, last year or 2 years ago, Matthew Boldy coming in, a team definitely to look out for.
Yeah, dude, they're becoming exciting. There should be a pretty fun team to watch here going forward. Another name you didn't mention, Alexander Kovanov, I'm a big fan of him. I think he can be a legitimate top six center playmaker, maybe even a number one type guy. But Matthew Boldy, he didn't make that World Junior team last year, kind of for a reason. He played really bad to start off his freshman career, to start off his college career as a freshman at Boston College. But he really turned it on heavy in the second half of the season, and he just never stopped rolling. He dominated the second half of the season, dominated college hockey this year, went to World Juniors, played extremely well. And he's kind of looking like, he got a Mikko Rantanen in comparison to the draft from whoever it was. And he's starting to become more and more of that player. I didn't see it at first. I liked him as a player, thought he had some talent, but didn't know quite what the ceiling was. But the way he's kind of shined the last year and a half, it's really opened my eyes a little bit. I'm really excited to see what he can do with Minnesota going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. It should be really exciting. Well, Chase, we're not going to hop into all of these guys, but how about we talk about two guys that you're really excited to look for as they come up to the NHL and maybe get their opportunity here soon?
All right, so I'll start with Jordan Kawaguchi. I mentioned he was probably the top free agent in college hockey this year. He had a lot of offers last year, chose to come back to North Dakota, try to win a national championship. Obviously, didn't work out for them. They are eliminated. But he's just been one of the best players in college hockey the last 2-3 years. He's been really impressive. He's going to start with Texas in the American Hockey League since he signed with Dallas. But next season, I think he's going to be a full-time NHLer. A lot of these college free agents, they don't work out that well. I think Jordan Kawaguchi really has a chance to actually work out, though. I like the way he plays the game. He's a smaller dude at 5'9 and 185, but he's not like fearless. He'll go into corners. He'll hit. He'll do what he has to do to try to help his team win. He's just a true team guy. He's a leader, and he can score as well.
Yeah, that's one thing that I worry about with all of these, undrafted college signings, because you look back a couple of years ago, we saw Jimmy Vesey, he gets signed, and this was the guy, this was the undrafted college, or he wasn't undrafted, I should say, but he wasn't going to be signing with Nashville, I think it was. So he was going to be on the market. He was this top college kid that was going to be available to every team. It was the VC sweepstakes. Eventually, New York lands him, and we didn't really see all that much. I kind of expected a little bit more. Maybe it was just the hype, and he got overhyped to the point where when he did play, it didn't look all that great. But something definitely worrying when it comes to prospects coming out that aren't already highly touted prospects.
Yeah, and before we move on to the next dude, I really want to ride off of that. Jimmy VC should not have gotten the hype that he did as a free agent. He was a really good player. Don't get me wrong. It was clear he has NHL talent, had NHL talent, and still does. And he's been an NHL player since then. But that year, he won the Hobie Baker when he scored like 25 less points than Kyle Connor did. Kyle Connor, true freshman, 71 points, didn't win the Hobie Baker. They gave it to the senior instead, which is absolute horseshit. It doesn't surprise me, though. It's something that the NCAA does. They value the experience and stuff instead, even though there was a player who was an 18-year-old who dominated, where VC was just pretty good. So I don't know why he had so much love and hype, because he's a good player, but he was never going to be like a 60-point scorer in the NHL. He always seemed like a guy who was middle six. Maybe he can get you 40 points, score some goals here too, and kind of help out where you need him to, but he can never have a high-end game.
Yeah, absolutely. And Kyle Connor, obviously, we've got a little bit of a soft spot for him as he grew up in this area and even went to the same middle school as us. But nonetheless, continue, Chase.
Yeah, and he's an absolute superstar in the NHL now. But moving on to the Ottawa Senators, they had a couple signings worth mentioning, but the one guy I do want to talk about is Shane Pinto, because I started seeing a lot of stuff, people trying to claim that he is a better prospect than Cole Caulfield, and he's blah, 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 this, that, whatever. It doesn't matter. Cole Caulfield's winning the Hobie Baker because Shane Pinto's the better player anyway. No. It's just not true. Shane Pinto is a very good hockey player. He has really developed well. He plays a really nice game. He's not necessarily just an absolute pure just scorer, but he has legit scoring ability, and he plays an all-around game. He's got great size at 6'3", 194. Plays the middle of the ice really well. He could play middle, center, or wing, and you'll be happy with whatever production he gives you there. But Cole Caulfield is just a completely different player and is a lot more of an offensive threat. So saying Shane Pinto is a better prospect is just asinine to me. Regardless, we're going to see Shane Pinto probably play with the Senators this year. I don't know if what their plan is right now, if they're going to taxi squad him or what they're going to do, but he should get some time on that team because obviously they're not that great.
Gotcha. So the reason you wanted to bring up Shane Pinto was to trash him and say that Caulfield is a better prospect.
No, I want to point out that, like, people trying to say that Shane Pinto is just a clear better prospect and one of the best prospects, if not the best prospect outside the NHL right now. Like, it's just not true. I saw so much of that over Twitter over the last month and a half, 2 months. It's just flat out not true.
I don't know who you're following, but I haven't seen that. But I think they deserve some blocks, some Twitter bans. Where's Twitter at? Because obviously not true. But Chase, let's talk about waivers. And we talked about Shane Gostisbehere. He went to waivers. We talked about maybe this is a guy where teams look to actually pick him up off of waivers, bring him in. He's struggled with Philly. Get him out of Philly and try to bring him back up to pace to where he was at his first 3-4 years of his career. Not the case. No one claimed him. And it seems like no one's getting claimed on waivers whatsoever. So why is this? Why are GMs not interested in picking up guys?
You know, it really is puzzling because you can see a guy like Gostisbehere and be like, all right, we can't claim him because we don't have the cap space. Sure, that's fine and dandy. I understand that. Same thing in Nikita Gusev. He's someone who's probably worthy of being claimed. He should be an NHL player, but he went unclaimed as well. But then you get to a guy like Evgeny Svechnikov for the Red Wings, who's been playing pretty well since he's been called up. He's been one of their better players, especially analytically, but they put him on waivers the other day. To try to say that you don't have the cap for him just is not true because he's making under $1 million. He's on a two-way deal. Any team can claim that, no problem, but yet he goes unclaimed. It's really feeling more and more like the waiver system is exactly what the qualifying tender offer system is, like the RFA system, where you got these guys, you give them a qualifying offer, and they're an RFA, and any team can technically offer them, but they can get matched by the NHL team. But other teams are too afraid to do it because they don't want to upset their colleagues, because really, at the end of the day, like, NHL general managers are co-workers because they all work for the NHL. They work for these specific teams, but think of these teams as departments that all work under the NHL because it really is what, like, how it works. So they don't want to, you know, upset their co-workers. They want to keep these good relationships so when they have further trade talks down the road that they're not trying to, you know, just jip them or, like, really manipulate them, whatever it is. So it's really feeling more and more like waivers is becoming like that, and I think that's such garbage. Absolute horse shit. I plan to be an NHL GM one day. I have my eyes set on that, and I'm locked in on that goal. When I'm an NHL general manager, I don't give a shit. If that's a good player and he's available to me and I got the space to take him, I'm taking him. Why wouldn't I? Why wouldn't I make an offer to a qualified free agent if we got the cap, if we got the picks to give up for him? Why the hell wouldn't I? I'm trying to make my team better. I'm trying to win. I don't give a shit about you or your job. I'm here to do better.
So putting it in some simplistic terms, the NHL has basically gone soft is what you're saying.
Yes.
And for example, like Brisebois and Yzerman obviously have had a long relationship. Brisebois doesn't want to claim a player like Svechnikov because it might make Stevie a little mad and maybe they won't go on their annual golfing trip, something like that.
Literally, yeah. Like, that is what it is. It'll ruin their friendships and it'll ruin trade talks to argue. But I don't give a shit. At the end of the day, it's a business. At the end of the day, you need your team to win. You need to thrive. You got to keep your job. And that's just what it comes down to. And if you're not doing everything you can to keep your job, do you deserve your job? I really don't think so.
No, and sports is the most competitive landscape in all of careers. So the fact that we're kind of dropping competitiveness for buddy-buddy, I don't want to go to HR and talk about my problems with my friends. Like, that's pretty sad there. I guess they really shouldn't deserve a job if they're not going to be in it to compete at 100%. But, Chase, move on to hockey name of the day as we are going to wrap up this episode. We are scrolling down and we've got Benedict. Oh, and those are two eyeballs over the U, so I'm not sure how to say that.
You took German. Come on.
Benedict Bruckner.
There you go. Was that so hard?
Let's go, baby. I'm yeah, so Benedict good Bruckner. At this.
What are those two dots above the U called, Mike?
Is that the umlaut or is not the umlaut?
That is the umlaut. Yes, it is. So, yeah, our boy Benedict is a German defenseman. Currently playing in the DEL, which is the top German league, just signed an extension there. Not a special player. He's old. He's 31. He's not coming to the NHL. He hasn't played internationally for Germany since 2017, 2018. He's just kind of there chilling, you know, making a living, playing hockey in his home country. So good on him.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a name that didn't give me too much trouble. And my German, my 2 years of German finally paid off because I remembered that That is an umlaut. I'm going to be honest, an umlaut over the U. I didn't know how it was pronounced, but I feel like the oo sound over the sound was much more realistic. So that's what I went with, and I was correct.
There you go.
All right, Chase. Well, that's going to do it for the episode. Why don't we let them know how to continue to stay up to date with us, and then we will head out of here.
All right. So as always, we want to thank you guys for listening. If you'd like to become a patron on Patreon, we'd really appreciate it. It's not required, but you can support not just us, but the whole network that way if you choose to do so. So if you check it out, that'd be great. If you want to follow us on Twitter at Bolts Broadcast, that is at Bolts Broadcast. You can follow the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at Hockey Pod Net. That's at Hockey Pod Net. And while you're at it, follow WNP on Twitter at WNP Sports Pod. That's WNP Sports Pod. Follow us at Bolts Broadcast. You'll get your hockey and Tampa Bay Lightning talk. Follow the Hockey Podcast Network. You can see what's going on around the network, see what's going on in other podcasts, check out some giveaways. And follow WNP. You can really look out for our mainly football talk. That's really what we do nowadays on that show. But make sure to check out hockeypodcastnetwork.com. Find all the podcasts in the network right there. Boom, click the logo. Listen easy peasy, lemon squeezy. Wherever listening, rate us 5 stars. Send us your questions, comments, concerns. And please use code THPN when you sign up for DraftKings.
Thanks so much for listening. We'll talk to you next time.